I'm a house church leader here at The Rock. I've been going to The Rock about 10 years. And it's my privilege to be able to speak to you tonight. I just want to welcome you to The Rock. If you're new, I'm glad you're here. This is why we're here. We're here so that we can bless the saints and have new people come in and see and hear about Jesus. So welcome. I'm going to give you a short family description about me, just so you know me a little better. I'm going to actually get into more detail of that in a few minutes. So I'm married. My wife's name is Terry. We've been married just over 10 years now. I have two kids. One is a four-year-old little boy, and his name's Jonah. And then my five-month-old is Joy. She is a little Joy. If you've been coming at all in the last few weeks, you know that we've been going through the book of Colossians. And in small groups, we've actually been doing that for the whole semester. So if you haven't been in a small group, you've really missed out on some awesome time to dig into the Bible and share together. So if you're not in one, think about getting in one when we start up this next semester. And then if you haven't heard the last three Saturday night teachings, I'd encourage you to go online and listen to them because they were excellent. Again, that was on the Colossians series. But for this week, I get a pass. I don't have to teach on the series. However, Josh had still gave me a total freedom to teach on whatever I wanted, so I thought I would have an eight-point sermon on why the Indianapolis Colts, who are still winless, are not as bad as the Detroit Lions, who still have the record for the worst record in NFL history. Now, seriously though, they gave me a pretty hard topic in that you could do anything you want. Sort of like in high school English class when you had a final and they said you could write it on anything you want. I just kind of draw a blank. That's overload for me. But I prayed about it, I thought about it, and God reminded me of something that's very near and dear to my heart, and I think it's near and dear to His as well, and that's the topic of adoption. So that's what I'm going to talk about. Before all the single people check out, or those folks that don't have kids, hold on a minute. How many of you like a good story? Okay, good. I've got some people here. I love a good story, and I'm going to tell you my story, my family's story, and how God has used adoption to make it. And then I'm also going to talk about how God uses adoption in building His eternal family. So hold on. I've got something for everybody. So again, tonight's topic's on adoption, and let's pray, and then we'll get started. God, I thank you for the night. Thank you that I get the honor of teaching. I'm not a pastor, God, but you, I think, have given me something to share. I pray that your words would be my words, that I'd just be a vessel tonight. Let me share with people what you've done in my life and how awesome you are. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay. I'm a computer guy. I'm sort of a computer nerd, if you will, a little bit, and I love graphics, I love computer technology, I like all little gadget widgets, phones, all that kind of stuff. I'm a PC, I'm not a Macintosh, so now half of you think less of me and the other half think I'm awesome, so we'll just skip on past that and move on to where my story begins. I graduated from college in 1998, December of 98, from Purdue University, which is in Indiana, where I grew up. Immediately after graduation, I got a good job in Utah. So I moved to Salt Lake City, never been here before, but I packed up and moved, and I've been here ever since. Once I got to Utah, I found a good local church. It took me a while, but I found one. And while I was there in that first year, I also met this lovely lady. That's my wife. Her name is Terry. And at that time, I didn't know she was going to be my wife, but I met her, and so that was in 99, and then we got to know one another, got to be good friends, and in the spring of spring of 2000, I had the meeting with my friend there, and I took her to dinner. We sat down, and I, after dinner, said, "Hey, what did you think about dating me? Would you let me court you?" For those that are around here, we call that dating with a purpose, or DWAP, as Josh has shortened it. So, whatever you like. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go online, download the server or Swerver teaching that Bill's done, and then you'll catch up. You'll be up to speed. So anyway, this was long before that that teaching ever came out. But my wife, she loves the outdoors. She's done just about everything. It was a little scary when I first got to know her because I was like, "You've done it all." Camping, biking, fishing. I scored, man, as a husband. I've got an awesome wife. She's from Alaska, which intrigued me. She's also smart, legal smart, so she can, you know, put me in my place pretty fast. I don't win many arguments, but she's wonderful. And as I got to know her over that course of that summer, we fell in love. I asked her to marry me in December of that year, and then 2001, April, we got married. So that kind of short description, one thing that I wanted to share, and it's in particular, it's kind of a bit of a quick tangent, if you will. It's something I've wanted to share for a while, and I think a lot of people here that are single will resonate with it. So I've asked my wife for permission. She said, I could share it. I know that many of you in here have been waiting a long time for a spouse. You're kind of wondering, has God forgotten about you? Well, my wife, she had to wait a long time too. And you're kind of thinking, how long? When I got married, I was 25. That's not bad. My wife was 37. She waited a long time for me, basically to grow up. So I don't have to tell you, if you're in that position, what that's like. It's extremely painful. You're waiting, you're wondering, is God ever going to come through for me? Am I ever going to find somebody? Does he love other people more? Well, if I can, I want to just give you some hope, and that is that God has not forgotten about you. He loves you dearly, and you are no less loved than your friends and family that are married. He's not forgotten you, and don't give up on him. Don't settle for less than God's best. So that was just a quick little tangent. I'm back on the thing of adoption here with our family. So we were married about 3 to 4 years, and we thought, it's about time. We're not getting any younger. We should have some kids. So I also read a book that time by Steve Farr. Here's our picture of us married. Pretty sweet. This book is... do you want to see that some more? There we go. Yeah. So I read this book. It's called Point Man. Some of the other men in the room have read it. It's really about how to raise a family as a godly man. But there was one whole chapter dedicated to having kids, to encouraging men and families to have kids. And I want to read this to you. It says, "It's been my experience that those who are willing to give up the immediate gratification that comes from choosing a childless marriage quickly see a change taking place in their lives once a baby shows up. The change is this: God begins dealing with your own selfishness by giving you someone to care for who is infinitely more selfish than you." If you've got kids, you know that's true. I've definitely learned how selfish I am and then how selfish my little ones are once I've had them. If there are any doubts about having kids, after I read this book, I was totally sold out. So we tried for a while, just wasn't happening. And after we tried for a few years, I don't remember exact time frame, we sought some help. We went to fertility doctor specialist. They took some tests. We came back for what they called a professional consultation. That's short for expensive information, okay? And basically, there were two outcomes, okay? There were really two outcomes. One was we either were going to listen to this person tell us something about that we didn't know and go down some path of whether it be drugs or some procedure to try to get pregnant. Or the other one, number two option, was going to be adoption. And we talked, even when we were in premarital counseling, you know, hey, we might adopt someday. So it was an option for us. But primarily, we really wanted God to give us some sort of direction, because there's a lot of choices there. We wanted to make perfectly clear what path he wanted for us. So shortly into this meeting with this guy, it became pretty obvious, and he was quite clear and direct. Because of my wife's age, once you're over the age of 40, it's pretty almost slim to no chance that you're going to be pregnant. I'm not saying God can't work miracles, but that's just biology. So we learned that, and we actually rejoiced going to our car. I remember sitting in the car and praying, thanking Jesus for giving us some clarity. We knew adoption for us was going to be how God provided. I'm sure there are couples in this room tonight that have similar situations. I know of couples that are thinking about adopting, and I hope that this will give you some hope, some encouragement, just telling you our story of how God has provided, and it's amazing, will maybe even give some of you that don't have kids and might think of having them, adoption is available. So the adoption process, I'm going to run through with you and kind of explain it. Because if you're like me, adoption sounds cool. Yeah, people should adopt. But you probably don't know what that entails. I've been asked enough times, can you tell me how does that work? Do you just go in, write a check, and they give you a kid? It's not that simple. So let's see if we're going to skip that. Here we go. All right, so with adoption, you have to choose, what are you going to do? Do you want international or domestic? So here in the U.S., we chose here in the U.S. We chose it, and then you choose an agency. You just kind of interview them, find out what's best for you, what works, you like the people. We found one in Sandy that we really liked. A Act of Love was the name of it. And then you have to start the paperwork process, which I didn't bring it in, but it was at least an inch thick after we got all done with it. And a lot of it is some legal stuff. There are a lot of preferences. So this you may not know. So it used to be that you walked in and let's say you came through the door and you were hoping parents number 20 on the list. When baby 20 came through the door, that's what you got. Then boy, girl, whatever it was, that's how it worked. It's since got a lot more sophisticated now. You actually put in a bunch of preferences. I want a boy, or I want a girl, or I don't care. What race the child might be. All those things. You spend a lot of time praying, talking, trying to figure out what kind of things do you want to put in there. And then one of the other ones is how open of an adoption you want to have. So there are really three options. Closed, which means you have no interaction with the birth parents. It's very rare. Open, again, is very rare, but that's an interaction where you may see each other a lot. You might have holidays together, all that kind of thing. Just kind of your, whatever you're comfortable with. Again, that's very rare. Most of them, the broad range of adoptions fit in the same category called semi-open. That's what ours are. And there, we provide pictures and letters once a year till our child's 18 to the birth parents. And that's pretty standard. Then the personal profile. I know a lot of people in here have been in significant bands where you had to do a band bio to kind of advertise yourself. Or maybe you're on your own, you're trying to market yourself. Well, this is basically you marketing yourself. I felt like I was on sale at Costco. Basically, you fill out, it has pictures and all your background information and your family and what your likes and dislikes are, all that kind of stuff. It was kind of fun to do, but at the same time, we were wanting to get this thing going. It takes a couple months at least to get all this stuff done. You attend meetings, you have a home study, people come to your house. They just want to make sure you've got a place that a child could grow up in. And then, of course, comes the monetary aspect of it. It's not cheap. And I think the cost, quite honestly, defers a lot of people from that should otherwise really consider it. And I just want to be frank with you and tell you how much it costs on average so that you know. Both of our adoptions, over $30,000 each. And that's without any complications at all. It's pretty expensive. But I want to tell you, our God is an amazing God. And He can provide. And He did for us in ways we had not even dreamed or thought of. Both of our adoptions are paid off by to His glory. And if you're ever thinking about adoption, don't let the monetary thing hold you back. Again, God can do anything, and He's amazing. We got all that stuff done, and then you're on the wait list. Basically, you're just waiting. You're waiting to be chosen. And it can take a while. For us, it took 9 months with our first child. We were matched with Jonah's birth mom. She saw our profile. She gave the agency a call. We were on the phone. We had an interview. And over the phone, she actually told us, "I want you to have our child, or to have my child." And as you can imagine, we were pretty much floored with excitement, and it was kind of hard to believe. Her due date was just a couple weeks away, so that's pretty typical. It's pretty fast when you find out. And she was late, so we had the bonus that we knew when she was going to deliver because they were going to induce. So we hopped on a plane because we had to fly to Florida for Jonah. And we took our infant car seat, which feels kind of weird taking an infant car seat when you don't have an infant. It's a little strange. But that was just all part of it. And so we flew down there. We were there 3 hours after he was born. Got to hold my little boy right there. And it was, it's an amazing thing. It's probably the most surreal moment I've ever had. I mean, I'm holding my son, and they're in the same room as his birth mom, who we got to talk to. I got to tell her what his name was going to be before any of our family did. We chose to do that for her. And then I got to tell her all about the story of Jonah, which she did not know. And if you've ever read the story of Jonah, it's basically the gospel. I got to share the gospel with this gal. So that was awesome. Here's a picture of our little boy when he was born. On July 17th, 2007, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. 1 Samuel 1:27. We held on to that verse throughout that pregnancy, if you want to call it. And that was him. So we decided, hey, let's do this again. So just over a year, we decided, let's try for number two. And we thought, hey, if we get our stuff in fast, maybe it'll happen quicker. That was not the case. It took a little over 2.5 years for us to get our little baby Joy. And that's an agency record for the place we were at. So we were not going for that, but we are made the leaderboard on that one. Support of you guys, and you know who you are. Many of you prayed for us for 2.5 years. You're our family, you know. And our biological families as well, they prayed. And there were times we cried in our pastor's living rooms talking to him about, is this ever going to happen? It was tough. So I thank you. I really do. Thank you for that. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. That's what we wrote on this plaque that's in our living room. We still have it up to this day. And that is true. With my God, all things are possible. And I've got a wife and two little kids to prove it. He can do anything. Well, here's our little Joy. She was born on July 10th, 2011. We got a phone call July 11th, 2011. So the day after she was born, we got a call, and we were pretty excited, as you can imagine. This time it was both birth parents were involved, and we had another phone conversation where they told us, we want you to raise and have our daughter. So we packed the car. Actually, first we drove over to the Whitneys and told them we were thrilled and so excited. And then the next day we got in the car. We drove to Nevada, which is where she was born, and met the birth parents, then got to go hold her. And a couple days later, she came home with us. Let's see what I got next. So this is my family. Again, God can do anything. This is the end of our adoption path right now. I will say this. Both of the birth mothers of my son and my daughter, they had a choice. They really did. They could have kept their child. They could have aborted their child. But they chose to keep it, and they chose to give them to us. And if you can put the picture back up. They chose to help make a family. And I'll forever be thankful. I pray that they'll be saved. I pray that God will bless them because they've shown my wife and I such love and blessed our family in such a way. Well, that finishes my story of adoption in our family. I want to share a little bit about God's plan of adoption for his family, his eternal family. And with this kind of in perspective of our what we've experienced, it might bring a little bit more meaning to what God is doing and has done. Let's start with a definition. Adopt or adoption. It means to choose. To choose and bring into a certain relationship, specifically to take into one's own family by legal process and raise as one's own child. This is what we did with our kids, and this is what God wants to do with each of you and me. He wants to take us into his own family and call us his children. In case you didn't know, there were a number of people notable in the Bible that were adopted. I just wanted to share them with you because you don't think about it too often. Israel is God's chosen people. He selected them and adopted them as his children, he says many times in the Old Testament. Moses, in Exodus 2:10, you can read, he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Esther, she was adopted by her cousin, much older cousin. When her parents died, he took her into his family and raised her as his own daughter. Mephibosheth, that's a mouthful. Tony and Shannon, if you need a name, here you go. No. I'm just joking there. But anyway, 2 Samuel 9 talks about how David brought one of Saul's grandkids into his family and let him be a part of his family and as his own son. And then notably Jesus, Joseph accepted Jesus as his own son and raised him that way. Now, contrary to what some religions teach and what many people believe, the Bible makes it pretty clear that human beings are not born into God's family. They are adopted into his family by faith. We are not children of God by default. We are uniquely created beings made in the likeness of the Creator God. It says in Genesis 1:27 and 2:7, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Now, hopefully I'm not rocking anybody's understanding of this, but we're created beings in God's image, which is very unique. We're sort of the crown jewel of his creation, but we're created from the dirt, it says. And we are made to last forever in terms of our spirit. God made us eternal. But we are not, by default, born into God's family. That would mean that all the animals were also born into God's family because he created them in the same way. But we are unique. We are special. And God has uniquely pursues us and wants to adopt us into his family. We'll read some verses here in Galatians chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Galatians chapter 3. If you don't, I'll put the verses up here on the screen and read through them. Let's go here. I think I went too far. That's it. Yeah. Says, but the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we received God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child, and since you are his child, God has made you his heir. It says there in verse 22 that we are all prisoners and slaves to sin. And Steele kind of went over a little bit of this a couple weeks ago, and I don't have time to really unpack all that stuff. There's just a truckload there, and there are whole sermon series that are dedicated to understanding all of what I just read. But I had to read it all because adoption into God's family does come at a price, and there is stuff that we need to kind of churn over just before we get into that. First is that we are all prisoners and slaves to sin, as it says. When we're born, because the one man sinned, when Adam sinned, we're all cursed. We're underneath the curse of sin. And so when we're born, as soon as we enter the world, we're essentially sinful. And the law, which is the Ten Commandments, they came for a purpose. They're not so that we can try to meet all those things. They're so that we recognize that we can't meet all of them. The law was given to us so that we could see just how utterly sinful we are. One thought, one lie, one evil deed, the Bible says that we've broken them all, if you have one of those. Now, there's a promise that came before the law. And we just read, as he mentions, it's to Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham. He said, I will one day send a child of the promise who will free mankind from the curse of the law, from their sin. And we know that that promise, Messiah, the child of the promise, is Jesus. And in 1 week, we're going to celebrate his birth. Yeah, amen. We sing songs at that time called Emmanuel. That means God with us. And Steele did absolutely fantastic job going through the deity of Jesus. He is God in the flesh. Explain that he is the visible image of the invisible God. He did that a couple weeks ago, so you can listen to that message if you want to know more about that. But it also, as it says here in Galatians 4, 4 and 7, that at the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. So God did something amazing, something he's never done before, and that is that he became a man in the person of Jesus Christ as a baby. And when he did that, he was born, it says in other translations, that he put on flesh. He became a being of flesh like us, in that he was a man, but he was also fully God. That's important because it says he was subject to the law. And there's one other thing that Jesus did that none of us have ever done or ever will do, and anyone else who's ever lived will never achieve, and that is that he lived a perfect, sinless life. He was sent to do that so that he could then free us from the law of sin. This is a quote from Jeff Wilson. I really like it. It describes this a little bit. It says, Jesus, he fulfilled all of the law, all of its precepts, as our representative, and he exhausted all of its penalty as our substitute. Jesus fulfilled all of the law, every bit of it, to perfection. And he did so as our representative, as a man. And then he exhausted all of its penalty as our substitute. And what did he substitute? It was our death that we deserve because of our sin. On the cross is where the penalty for our sin was paid. And he did so to buy us freedom, as it says there in Galatians. To buy us freedom for those of us who are slaves to the law, so that he could then adopt us as his very own children. The way you are freed from the law is when you believe in Jesus, when you believe in him. When a person recognizes their guilt and their guilty position before God, and then they repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus to save them, at that moment, that's when the Spirit enters their life and they become a Christian. It's also at that very moment that a Christian, by definition, becomes an adopted child of God. You become part of God's family. So Christian, you're an adopted child of the Most High God. That is awesome. That is amazing. And if that isn't enough, he then made us an heir alongside Jesus. So we aren't just part of the family, we're heirs. The evidence of this is the Holy Spirit that now lives inside of us. In Romans 8:15, he says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. We are his heirs. We have the same status as a natural child. And it's permanent. When you're adopted, just like my kids, when they were adopted, they got a change of family, a change of name, a change of home, and a change of responsibilities. As a Christian, and a child of the King, you have a new family. Your name has been changed from slave to child. Your home is no longer this world, it's in heaven. And you now have new responsibilities within God's family. I think that's pretty awesome. To help bring this home a little bit more, I thought I would share with you a couple documents, some legal things that come along with adoption. This is Joy's legal adoption decree. Just a few weeks ago, we sat in a courtroom. We raised our right hands. We were sworn in. We answered some questions. After that all got done, we received this particular document. Part 3, you can't read it, so I'll read it to you. It's the most important. It says that the minor child be and hereby is declared adopted by petitioners Cole Derrick Walters and Terry Allison Walters as the child of petitioners. That the minor child henceforth shall be regarded and treated in all respects as the child of petitioners. That they shall sustain the legal relation of parents to the minor. That the minor child shall be subject to all the duties of that relationship, and that the minor child shall henceforth be known as Joy Riley Walters, the child of Cole Derrick Walters and Terry Allison Walters. It doesn't get a whole lot more official than that, but there is one more step. You take that document and you apply for this. This is Jonah's birth certificate. I kind of cut all the extra out and shrunk it down so that you can see it. Hopefully you can read it there. But the important part there is it says the child's name, Jonah Lee Walters. Mother's maiden name, Terry Allison Walters. Or Allison Fikes, that was my wife's maiden name. And then the father's name is Cole Derrick Walters. It doesn't have his birth mom's name on it. It has my name. It has my wife's name. He's mine. My daughter is mine. Christian, you are God's. Essentially, you get one of these. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's in you. It's a deposit. It guarantees your inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. You cannot lose it. It cannot be revoked. It's permanent. If you're not a Christian yet, my hope and prayer is that you'll become one soon. And I think God's deep desire is to adopt you, just like I adopted my kids. There is no better father. Will you accept what Jesus has done for you? Repent for your of sinful ways. Put your whole faith and hope in Jesus as your Savior. You can do that now. You can do that tonight. And then you have all the inheritance rights just like Jesus. You get the you get a home. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house there are many rooms. Here at The Rock, we want you to be a part of the family. So you can do that. There's no special prayer. There's no special hoops to jump through. You have to just confess to God, recognizing you're a sinner. Pray to Him, confess to Him, accept what Jesus has done for you on the cross. He's paid for your sin. It's between you and God. If you need help with that, come talk to me, talk to one of the leaders here. Go back to the connections booth. They'd love to chat with you. We love you here at The Rock. We'd love to see you become part of our family. Christians, I hope that you've got a different perspective on what adoption is and on what God has done for you. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we are so thankful that you care about us. We are so thankful that you sent your one and only Son to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for our sins. That's where sins were paid for. so that then Jesus' righteousness could be imparted on us and we could be adopted into your family. Thank you so much that you love us enough to do that. That is your choice. God, I pray that you will use this bit of scripture that we read tonight, my story, to encourage people. I pray, God, that we would celebrate the birth of your son next week. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen.